Sagemont Church is a gathering of Christian believers in the southeast area of Houston, Texas.
I'm calling the series A Dawning of a New Day. I have been preparing in my heart and mind this series for many months. As we approach this move-in date, it is very, very important that we have a very clear picture of who we are and what our challenge is and what our assignment is from the Lord, what a church is to be, not based on what the pastor thinks it ought to be or a denomination thinks it ought to be or a consensus of opinion as to what a church ought to be, but what the Scripture clearly says it is. It is His church. Upon this rock I will build, Jesus said, my church, and my church will stand until I come again. And I am sad by the fact that many people that have spent their life in church still do not understand what a church is. They cannot get past the fact it's where a group of people get together, they just love one another, and they're kind to one another, and they pray for one another, and they love to talk to one another, and they live close to one another, and they agree on the same sins that are sins, and, you know, this is right and that's wrong, and it's just a religious social group of people that get together to get blessed and to enjoy and take advantage of the opportunities, never understanding that the church was that which the Lord gave to us and said, this is my church, and I will bless my church, and the gates of hell will not stand against my church. But I will also come back to rapture my church. And those that just sit and listen and say, well, I kind of like this and I can accept that and so forth, they miss it 1,000 miles as to what it is. And also, where do I fit in? I just want to tell you up front so you can be prepared for the messages that are coming, that no one, absolutely no one, is to be a part of a church and do nothing. A church is not a place you come and sit to get blessed. That is not what a church is. It's not a building with a lot of seats where you can have great programs. Everybody comes and says, wow, wee-woo, that is so wonderful. God has got something for everybody to do. Everybody. And praying is the most important thing maybe of the whole list. To pray without ceasing that God will bless that which you have linked your life with and said, I am looking forward to the coming of the Lord, knowing that I am in the midst of something that He is doing. So today, we're going to start in an obvious place. We're going to be going all through the New Testament in particular as the church was established. And the book of Acts is obviously the spot to get going. And we'll see as far as it'll take us today. But I want you to stand as I read from the first chapter of the book of Acts. Now listen very carefully to every sentence, every word, every thought. Let it come alive. Don't let it just be something out of ancient history, but let it be a clear excitement like God has given me a new life. I have been born again. Now here are the instructions as to how my life is to be lived in accordance with His will so that no good thing will ever be withheld from me because I am going to walk by faith and not by sight. I am not going to have to wonder what am I supposed to be doing, but rather I will understand that I have taken on the nature of God when I was born again. And we'll get into this a lot more next Sunday. But I've taken on the nature of God. Now I'm beginning to think like He thinks. I begin to see my priorities as He sees His priorities. Yes. And I see who I am as He sees who I am. and I will move forward under his leadership. So listen to the scripture. We'll read 8 verses. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible works, or infallible proofs, being seen by them for 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now please listen to one other scripture. From the 3rd chapter of Philippians, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and listen to these brief words. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. May God bless the reading of his word. Would you be seated? It is with great excitement and anticipation that we should be united in approaching the year 2012. Obviously, we've never walked this way before. We're like Abraham that went out into a land that he knew not. None of us know what another day is going to bring. It is very clear in the scripture. We do know, however, it is a day of opportunity. It is a day when the church has its best opportunity to impact the world, ever. Never has there been a time when the world needed to hear the good news of Jesus Christ than right now. God has been faithful to his church from its beginning. He has never walked out on his church. Now you say, well, I know a church. I said he's never walked out on his church. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And he has promised to protect us, to guide us, to walk with us, and to allow us to experience the things of God as they happen. We now are in sight of the completion of our fabulous new facilities and all that they will provide, not only for the people here in Houston, but for literally for people around the world. And God has a plan for our church, and he's got a plan for our life. He's got a plan for our children's lives, our grandchildren's lives. He has a plan, and we just need to find out what God's up to and get in on it. Never, never have there been more lost people in the world than there are today. They're confused. They're disillusioned. They're hopeless. And they're helpless. And it's a sad thing when they've never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. We watch the polls. We listen to the word undecided. Let me tell you, that's one of the most dangerous places you'll ever get in your life. I am undecided. As I approach this intersection, I am undecided what I am going to do. You know, as I put on these clothes today, I am undecided. As I decide on getting married, all I know is I'm going to get married. I'm just undecided as to who it will be, but I'm sure the first thing that comes along will be it. That's got to be God's will for my life, you know. That's a dangerous place to be. Dangerous place to be. People are looking for answers. They're confused. They're frustrated. They can flip through the news, the three major news networks, and listen to the same story, and you'd think, this is not the same story, because everything is coming from three different directions. What is the truth in this day and time? Pastors, Bible teachers, churches are tempted like never before to compromise and conform to the world rather than stand on the inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word of God and accept the consequences that we are not in a political race as a church. We're in an army to who our commander-in-chief is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and whatever he says, we do. Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I, your Lord and your Savior, command? God knew long ago what this day would be like. He, for Sagemont, began preparing this day 45 plus years ago. When 16 people gathered together with a vision that had been passed on to them by the First Baptist Church in Pasadena. Yes. And they began to pray, they began to think on a 5.5-acre tract of land, this is what we have to work with, and a 10,000 square foot building that will soon be built. And from that time, God has walked step by step with us. He has carried us up the mountains, down in the valleys, but the church has walked in one accord. It has walked knowing that we're looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. There's never been a doubt, where are we going? And there's never been a doubt, well, what will be our guidebook? That's never come up in a deacon's meeting. That's never been discussed in a committee. It has always been God's way. Because God loves everybody, and whosoever will can come and be saved. You see, God never looked for people that are conformist to walk with. He said, come out from among them, be separate. God's ways are higher than man's ways. God has never, on any church on the planet, in any generation, ever blessed that group of people that made a choice to conform to the world, because that way people will come rather than just walk with God. And I remind all of us, as I remind myself over and over again, the closer you get to the cross, the fewer there are that are going to follow you, including the 12 apostles. Right. You don't even hear about some of them after the crucifixion. But that's a hard, hard thing to do. When we talk about how many are gathered here and how many are gathered there and what's going on here and what's going on there. But it is a committed, non-conforming, Bible-believing, pure motive people that God blesses. That's not looking for creative ideas of their own, but looking how to creatively apply the Word of God to a much-needed world. We're not perfect at Sagemont, and far from it. We have so many opportunities now ahead of us as the fields are white unto harvest, and the laborers are available, and one by one they're making their commitment, and they're coming out, and we can be so much more effective of being living proof of a loving God to a watching world. Amen. Yesterday was one of those days where I was so humbled and proud to be a part of Sagemite Church as Brother Terry, Brother Carol Canada's son, Terry, 54 years old, went in for a hernia surgery this week. Hernia. You know, if on somebody else, you'd say that's minor surgery. Of course, if it's on me, it's major surgery, and it's like it would be if it's on you. But the next day, he passed away. But I wish you could have stood by Carol and Helen and myself and Rex and listened to the people, and it was one of the biggest funerals that I have ever been a part of, and the funeral home just overflowed with people. And I wish you could hear the stories of people that had never been exposed to Sagemite Church talking about the Salt and Light iConnect Bible Study Group at Sagemont, and how the ladies began to pour over to Karen, the wife's house, when the word came, and to the hospital, and everything. They just couldn't. Here they came. Yeah. And the chapel filled on Friday night of people coming. And then as folks began to talk one-on-one all through the day and even after the day, when another family that Carol had ministered to, and I'll not call their name, I have not permission to do that, but they went through a tragedy about a year ago with a terrible accident in their family. And Carol and others came alongside that family. Well, the daughter came up to me. And she said to me, she said, "Pastor, I just want to thank you for the cross. And I want to thank Sagemite Church for the cross. Because I go by it continually to be encouraged." She said, "It's been the hardest year of my life." But said, "That cross has continued to lift me up." Her husband was with her. He said, "Pastor, one of my best friends was fixing to commit suicide a few weeks ago. And he drove by that cross. And he told me," this is not a Sagemont member, this is someone I met for the first time yesterday, "my friend told me that when he saw the cross, he changed his mind." That's a church in ministry, folks. That's not a bunch of people just sitting around eating and greeting and meeting and organizing. It's a church being living proof of a loving God to a world that is hurting. I've thought about over the holidays some things that God has blessed us with through recent times. And, you know, we have a church family that loves God, loves the Word of God. We love one another. And there's been oneness of purpose for 45 years. We have a dedicated, qualified staff at Sagemont that God has led here in unbelievable ways. And I'll be using some examples in coming days because, you see, many of you are sitting out there right now. At whatever point you are in your life, some have just given up. I'm just sitting here waiting till I hear the word from the doctor that now I know how I'm going to go. But I don't plan to do anything until then other than I'll come when I can. But I want you to see where your staff came from. I'm going to be telling you the stories of the Emory Gads and the Jim Greens and the Chuck Snyders and the Stuart Rothbergs and people the Roy Gales, and on the list will go. And the tenure of our staff is unprecedented in any church ever in America. We have many staff members been here 20, 25, 30, 35 years. You know why? Because when they came, they weren't on a career moving up to higher ground. They came and said, "We will just live and die here if necessary in order that God can raise up a people that would impact the world." Not where is the better salary, not where's the better climate, not where I can be closer to my family, but where does God want me? And God said, "Just stay. Just stay." How thankful when we can look around and hear the stories like we heard yesterday of how the staff, along with the lay people, ministered to this family. We've been so fortunate to have a congregation that would follow. I had one fellow yesterday at the funeral. I used to be a member of Sagemont. He said, "You probably won't remember me because I didn't cause you any trouble." I guess he assumed all the rest of you have. I can look you in the eye and tell you that the unity of this church has been real. Amen. And God has put us on a campus in a city and brought the world to our doorsteps. Yes. He has brought the world to our doorsteps. Yes. You don't have to go to China to minister to the Chinese. I do not have to go to Korea. I can go two doors down from where I live. I mean, we are in the spot, the number four city in the United States in size, with NASA, the medical center, the oil and petrol industry, and on the list will go. But the world is right here and has taken that 5.5 acres and turned it into 55 acres and said, "Now, you were faithful over a little. I'm going to trust to you more, but I expect you to be as good a steward with the more as you were with the little." God continues to give us the financial resources to fund the visions that He has given us. And He will, as our vision now becomes to get the gospel out in unprecedented ways to the world. He just does so by blessing His people. That is the only way our church can ever move forward financially, is for God to bless the members of Sagemont Church financially. That's it. There's no source. There's no interim financing for those of you that might be guests. It only comes when God blesses His people. And the freedom from bondage of financial debt. As we watch what is going on today, as the world chose in recent years and churches chose in recent years to borrow all they could borrow, as long as they could pay the interest on their balloon notes and then live with the consequences. Because after all, it's got to be right. Look at all the people that are coming. And now, before 2006, no churches in America were ever foreclosed on. This year, hundreds will be foreclosed on. Why? Why? Because when the church conforms to the world, you end up, whichever way the world goes, the church goes. And when the world goes through a down economy and foreclosures, the church goes through the same thing. Right. And again, yesterday, someone at the service came up. Did not know. Y'all don't borrow money? Y'all don't pass an arm plate? No. Y'all don't have a debt? No. Boy, we sure do over at our church. I'm going to Orange, Texas, Kansas City, Missouri, Denver, Colorado, the next 15 days, 20 days. Churches that are going down if God doesn't do a miracle. And God has let us be free to follow His will. What an opportunity. What an opportunity. And the timing is absolutely perfect. I love to hear people say, "You mean that the money to pay for that building in this economy in Houston with all of the bad?" You betcha. God is always at His best when the world is at its worst. That's just the kind of God we serve. And I'm glad that there is some example of that through the church. The lay leadership of Sagemont is the best. Gifted, unselfish. Lamont Buckner's department yesterday, that Salt and Light group, incredible how those people ministered to that dear family. We have so many that are here because God led them here in the last 12 months. God has brought 885 new people into our church, and every one of them bring their unique life to the Lord and say, "Here I am, Lord, what would you have me to do?" That's the reason today that we can get excited about what the future holds. I've got about 5 more minutes. I want you to open your Bible. I'm going to walk you through something in 5 minutes. Acts 1. Excuse me. Yes, Acts 1. Verse 1. Watch very closely. And I'm going to set you up for next week, all right? Verse 1. Jesus not only talked the talk, but He walked the walk. Listen what it says. It said, the former treatise have I made, Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. The world was not only impressed with what he said, they were impressed with what he did. Why don't you look at verse 2. And in verse 2, you're going to see that the Holy Spirit gave the commandments to the apostles, and they have given them to us. Listen to this. Until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And those apostles now have given it unto us. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and others. The book of Acts. Luke. You see, God told us, here's what I want you to do. I'm not going to make them complicated, nor a whole bunch of them. I'm going to give you just a few. Jesus, there were 49 commandments of Jesus. He taught them to his disciples. Somebody says, what is a disciple? How do I know that I have been discipled? When you know the commandments of Jesus and you obey them, you have been discipled. That's it. That is it. It's not your understanding eschatology. It's not your figuring out when Jesus is going to come back again. It has to do with those simple things that Jesus gave to us. Yes. Look in verse 3. The proof that Jesus was who he said he was that he rose from the grave. And he stayed around for 40 days to answer any questions that the news media might have. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. By many infallible proofs. Being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He rose from the grave. He said, I got 40 days. You got any questions? Do you believe I'm who I said I was? Do you believe I'm coming back again? I told you I was coming the first time. I told you I was going to rise from the grave. I told you I was going to die on a cross for the sins of the world. It was prophesied I'd be born of a virgin. Everything that's happened has happened. By the way, the last chapter hadn't been written. I'm coming again. Now you got any questions? We don't have to doubt, folks. Jesus is coming again. He is coming. Ecclesiastes 3:1, verse 4. It says, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Timing is so important. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says to everything there's a season. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. Yes. And then verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. That does not mean some bizarre thing is going to come upon you to where you would look and act like you'd lost your mind, but rather when there's power, there's conviction, there is comfort, there is direction, there is peace. That's what the Holy Spirit brings. Yes. And he brings assurance that you have been born again. Yes. And then in verse 6 through 8, the church is to be prepared when that happens to carry out what we call the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19-20 is, go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. And look at verse 8 here. But you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost will come upon you. You'll be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. As I speak to you this morning, right now, through that camera, the gospel is going out to the uttermost parts of the world. And we know there are people watching all over the world that because of the internet, they can do this. And there's so many other things when we start praying together, when we start practicing what we say we believe, when we say we are going, as for me and my house, we are in. We can't do everything, but we can do something. Yes. And this is what we are going to do. And the only way to get prepared for the future is to look to the past says, as Paul said in Philippians, forgetting those things which lie behind, I'm going to press towards the mark. How do you forget the past? Oh, just forget about it. You can't forget. Only thing you can do is put another thought in your mind that's a positive thought about the future. Then you only have one thought at a time. So as long as you're thumbing, Lord, what would you have me to do? Oh, God, I made such a plan. She did this, and he did that. They said that, and they hurt my feelings, and they didn't do this, and on and on and on. Forget those things. How are you going to forget them? I'm pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God through Jesus Christ. Yes. Well done. That's what we're looking for. Well done. Well done. Well done. Now, next week, we're going to pick it up from here. Here's what I want you to brief yourself on between next week. You can't get started until you know you're saved. And one of the ways you know you're saved is that you've taken on the nature of God. That's what it means to be born again. His ways become your ways. His thoughts become our thoughts. His priorities become our priorities. That's the way you know. That's the way you know. Old things pass away and all things become new. No longer do you think about, well, did I say that prayer? Did he put me all the way under when they baptized me? You know. I mean, it gets so silly, doesn't it? You don't know if you're born again? Do you see the world like God sees the world today? If so, your heart's broken. Because you see the millions and millions that have rejected the only name given among men whereby they can be saved. And when God calls you, his nature comes in you and he takes you like you are. And he doesn't use you just because you've got a great personality. He'll use you in spite of your personality. Right. He doesn't take your strengths and make them stronger. He takes your weaknesses and makes them like his. And you'll find out you are important to God. Yes. You're important to God. Well, let's pray together. And I hope that you'll start just praying for your church daily. I hope that you'll just start thinking, now, Lord, wow, you know what my doctor's chart says. You know what my birth certificate says. You know, Lord, how hard it is for me to do whatever. And you know everything about me. Can you still use me? You just remember when Moses was 80, he asked that question. Boy, did his life ever change. If you're here today and you don't know that you know that you know that you're born again, we're going to open up our connection center. The first room here, as you go through the door, first room on the right. There'll be people there to talk with you, pray with you. I'll be glad to talk to you. Not this morning. I cannot do it this morning, but as the days come. And everything is in me, I want you to know that you know that Jesus lives in my life. And I'm seeing the world as Jesus sees the world, not like the Republicans see the world or the Democrats or anybody else. How does God see my world? The time is urgent, folks. The time is urgent. So if you'd like to come and pray, maybe you'd like to join Sage My Church, go to that room there. And for those of you, the first-time guests, come to the back hall. Let's pray. Father, thank you for letting us meet today. Thank you for the beautiful music. Thank you for the opportunity just to think through some of our thoughts as we sing, knowing the King is coming, to know that you will never leave us, and to know that you still have a purpose for every one of us that are still breathing. And so I ask you, God, to just direct us now in everything that pertains to what we're going to be doing in the days to come. Prepare every heart, every group, every small group, large group, every family, every individual for what your plan is in the coming days. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We pray that today's message has brought you to a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Join us Sundays at 8, 9:30, and 11 a.m. at Sagemont Church in the Worship Auditorium. For more information, check us out at www.sagemontchurch.org.